Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to mini episode 337 of Real Life Ghost Stories, and I have five spooky stories for you today, and the last story comes from January the 26th, 2024, and story number one comes from Anonymous. A few months ago, I quit my job and have been searching for other jobs. It hasn't been easy, and every day it just adds more heaviness in my heart along with some other stress I am dealing with. I do not feel happy with how things are going, and I'm just too uninterested to do anything creative or active, to engage in my hobbies or learn something new. To distract my mind, I started listening to a podcast in which the guest was a psychic demonologist sharing his experiences and some cases he has helped with. It was interesting but also very long, and I was listening to it alone, lying on my bed. And somewhere in the middle of the podcast, I slowly started to drift off into sleep. Twice I shook my head to keep me awake, but I eventually shut my eyes and was on the verge of completely falling asleep when I felt a slap on my right arm above the elbow that jolted me awake. I was so scared for a second. I rolled away from the edge of the bed, afraid something was under the bed. Did I imagine that slap, or did I dream about it, or was it real? My legs felt very cold with respect to the rest of my body for some reason, even though they were under the blanket the whole time. That's when my attention went to the podcast that was still playing. The demonologist was saying, which I roughly recall, sometimes spirits attach to people and they don't even know. It will hang around that person, weighing them down, and may affect that person's emotions and behaviour. The person may have negative thoughts and feel lethargic. I had heard enough. I turned off the podcast and yeeted out of the room. At that moment, my confused brain was like, was that phantom slap a spirit's way of trying to keep me awake and listen to that part of the podcast so as to make me aware that it's haunting me? Now, I'm not saying I believe this was some paranormal occurrence, because clearly I was not at my sharpest of mind. Maybe it was just my sleepy brain trying to make sense of something or trying to keep me awake. I don't know. Human minds are capable of some crazy things. It has been a week since this incident, and the slap has stayed with me, and even now while I'm writing this sitting in the same bed, I can feel my legs getting cold. They say consuming such dark content can attract such energies towards you. I do wonder, Anonymous, and I have no desire to delegitimize your experience, but I do wonder if potentially this was like a version of sleep paralysis. You know, you're already in a pretty rough place, you're feeling pretty stressed. You're listening to this podcast that is an alleged demonologist. I am always skeptical of people who refer to themselves as demonologists, to be honest. But you're listening to this podcast. It's infiltrating your brain while you're in that hazy place between sleep and awakeness. And I wonder if that's more so what it was rather than anything supernatural. Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of people who refer to themselves as demonologists and who make statements like, you know, somebody might feel negative and feel lethargic if they've got a demon or an entity attached to them, because you can feel negative and lethargic for a million other reasons. It often feels to me like very generalized statements that do nothing but scaremonger. And as somebody who consumes an ungodly amount of dark content, you know, I watch at least one horror film a week. I constantly read paranormal stories. Listen, I'm doing all right. Again, this is not me trying to discredit your experience, because I do firmly believe that you experienced something, whatever it was that slapped you on the arm in order to wake you up. I mean, that is terrifying. I would be shitting myself if that happened to me. And I do agree with you that the human mind is capable of some crazy things, but that doesn't make it any less scary when it happens to you, for sure. And story number two comes from Aylwin. For years I've been told I have the gift of healing, or being connected to the spirits. Something I accepted, and I've had a few experiences growing up. Nothing major. Stuff that just seemed normal to me. I remember being 3 years old and at my grandfather's funeral, my older cousins who were teenagers were crying, and I was telling them not to worry, that he was okay. I used to see him watching over me when I went to bed, so I guess I didn't understand death at that age. For the last few years, I've worked in a palliative care team in the community. I remember going to a patient who was close to dying, very agitated, and kept saying that he wanted to go to church. His wife said he hadn't been since he was a choir boy. I did my best to try and comfort him, and said that he didn't need to be in church to pray if that's what he wanted to do. I'm not Christian, but I fully respect others' faiths. Laying one hand on his shoulder and the other holding his hand as we waited for the nurse to sort out his medication, talking to him calmly and reassuring that we were there, I suddenly felt unwell. I had a really bad headache, my mouth was dry, I was lightheaded. It took me a few minutes to click what was happening. I was feeling how he felt. As I felt worse, he felt better, or at least calmed. Once I realized what was happening, I had control and wasn't as freaked out. The nurse came, gave him his medication, and me and my teammate went to go to our next patient. My workmate looked at me, asked if I was okay, and I explained it to him. He looked at me a bit odd, shrugged his shoulders, and was a bit like, "Oh, okay." I shook out my hands and legs, leaving the house, getting rid of that energy from inside me. Another time we had a patient that we had cared for months. They had a long-term health condition. We always had a good laugh with him. He was a massive flirt, and I always had to tell him off for not doing what he was told. So he went into a home for respite, and to our sadness as a team, decided to stay in residential care and not to return home. Fast forward a few weeks, and I had the most vivid dream with him in it. There were details that I can't remember, but I know that I wasn't sure if it was about him or his son, and I had that horrible feeling when you wake that something is wrong. I messaged the son, sounding like a total weirdo, asking if he or his dad were unwell as I'd had this dream. He messaged back in amazement that his dad was not well. He had a really bad chest infection, and they suspected that he had days left to live. Off me and a colleague went to visit him. For context, it was the end of November and this patient was taking part in Movember and had an awful mustache at the time. When we saw him, he was full of flirts and innuendos as usual, but you could see that he wasn't well. I told him that Movember was over soon and he best shave off that dodgy 80s porn star mustache on the 1st of December. The son was amazed to hear how he had been with us, as he had hardly spoken or interacted with family in the last few days. Come the 1st of November and I get the news that he has passed away. But here's the thing. He woke up early, asked the nursing home staff to shave him, and a few hours later he passed away peacefully. I don't know why or how I had that dream. Just that it was so we could go and say our goodbyes to him. I always have such major respect for anyone who works in palliative care. Like, I just feel like it takes a certain person to be with people at the end of their life and bring comfort and just a bit of calm and a bit of peace to people who are at the end of their life. And I would wonder, based on what you said about sort of taking on the symptoms of that particular patient that then made him calm, I wonder if you've got a bit of healing power in there too. And for that man, that second person that you outlined in your story, you and your team were a massive part of that person's life for a very long period of time, for months. So to me, it's sort of, it makes sense that they would come to you in a dream and be like, listen, I'm on the way out and I would like to say goodbye to you. And I think it's a very beautiful thing. I also love that he got rid of the mustache before he went. Very important not to have a ridiculous mustache on the journey to wherever it is you go when you die.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And story number three comes from Brittany. My boyfriend and I met back in 2015 in a video game, Raid. He was living at the time in Chicago, Illinois, and I was in Fort Worth, Texas. During this time, I was working for a small pet store and was living alone. We would FaceTime during the evening, and there were times that were harder than others being so far away from each other. One night we were FaceTiming and I felt something jump on my bed and walk up the side of my legs and lay down. It was as if a cat or a small dog jumped on my bed and curled up next to me. I didn't have any pets at the time, and this wasn't the only time that it happened. It happened a few times, and it was only on the nights that I was having a very emotional time being away from my boyfriend. It was more of a shock the first time it happened, but after that it was a comfort. Once he moved down, it never happened again, but I won't forget the comfort that it gave me. I managed the store that I worked at during this time, and I had many weird things happen to me in this store. I would see products on our highest shelf fall at me, but when I would duck and prepare for the hit, nothing ever fell. Being a small store, there were often just two of us working, and when it was slow, we would organize the store. I would hear footsteps walking up to me and no one was ever there. After a year, I was promoted and moved locations, and this was the store that made me a true believer. One morning, I was alone in the store and I was walking up from the back and looked over to our frozen pet food, and I saw a gentleman in overalls and a green plaid shirt looking at me. I started to walk over to him to see if I could help him and apologize because I didn't hear the bells ring when he came in. As I walked up to him, he disappeared in front of me. I just stood there in disbelief, but couldn't process it since I had customers coming in. I knew the land used to be farmland before it was built up, and it would make sense with how he was dressed. I never felt afraid in the store, so it never bothered me, but I do wish I could have seen him again. One night after a late shift, I fell asleep on my mom's couch. I was startled awake from being so cold. I hadn't opened my eyes yet, but I could feel it, something icy cold touching my nose. I slowly opened my eyes and it took a second for them to adjust to the darkness, but then I saw it. Two small beady eyes staring at me. I jumped and then realized it was my dog nose to nose with me staring at me. My boyfriend and I are still together. It will be 9 years this February. The video game was called Destiny and I truly believe that it was. If you are like me and have absolutely no idea what a raid is in a video game, it is when a large group of people, multiplayers in a video game, have to work together to complete a particular mission. Thank you, Google, for that one, because I was like, what's a video game raid? And apparently in some multiplayer games, it is only possible to complete some of the missions by doing a multiplayer raid. So you learn something new every day. I do wonder if your partner, if your boyfriend had a beloved pet, like a cat or a dog or something that had passed away, because maybe it was to do with your connection, that your connection allowed for whatever pet they'd had to pass away to come and give you comfort at a time when you were really struggling with the long distance in your relationship. Maybe I'm just chatting absolute shit, who knows. And I do think the second part of your story just goes to show that, you know, land has memory. And regardless of what is then built on that land afterwards, the land still holds that memory, much like we talk about buildings holding a memory. I mean, it makes sense that this man that you saw physically disappear in front of you was a farmer who had previously worked the land, who's probably thinking, what the fuck is all of this on my land? I think if I was in your situation and I saw a man physically disappear in front of me, I would melt into a puddle of anxiety and fear. So it is probably a good thing that you then had to deal with customers, etc., because you just didn't have time to dwell on it or worry about it. And story number four comes from Martha. About 20 years ago, I found myself needing a new home. My dad knew a couple through his church who had a large old house in the middle of nowhere in Oxfordshire in England. It had a couple of old barns attached to the house, which were converted. It was built in 1604. It was old, old, thick stone walls, etc., and it used to be a substantial manor house back in the day. My little bit was up some stone steps on the side of the building and used to be a hayloft, and animals were on the ground floor. It was a one-bedroomed place. When I first moved in, I loved it. It was gorgeous and cosy, and there would be deer in the garden every morning, but then it got spooktastic. The telly turned on and off all the time, so did the stereo and the lights. It was bloody freezing some nights, and the vibe in the living room wasn't good. A couple of times I would be on the sofa, which was kind of in the middle of the room, and the TV screen would go off, and then I would see in the reflection of the telly a silhouette walk behind me. No thanks. The bedroom was warm, comfy, and had a nice vibe though. When male friends came to visit for a cuppa, they always left quickly saying they felt uncomfortable. Anyway, after about the 110 billionth time of being woken up to static on the telly in the middle of the night, I was moaning to a colleague at work about not getting a decent night's sleep and not really liking being there. My colleague suggested I go and meet a friend of hers who is a medium, and I thought, I'll try anything. So we met, and I said there was some weird shit happening at home, and she said she would come over. I stayed outside while she went and did her stuff, and then she came outside and we had a chat. She told me that there are the spirits of two ladies in my cottage. She explained that they were related, aunt and niece, and they died in that room in an awful way at the hands of a very bad man. My friend said they didn't like me at first, but now they do, and they just wanted to say hi. They don't like men and don't want any in their home. They know they are dead and are aware, but they like it there and don't want to move on. My friend suggested that I talk to them, acknowledge them, appreciate that it's their place and that I am there, etc., so I did. I spoke to them constantly and said good morning, good night, etc. It wasn't cold anymore, and when the telly went off, I would say, ladies, come on now, with a smile and a laugh, and it would turn back on again. When I was on the sofa, I would feel a hand gently touch my head, like a gentle, hey there, a kind of a friendly gesture. I remember that I very briefly dated this total gobshite who came over one evening. He was very, very drunk. See? Gobshite. And I was in the bathroom and heard him seemingly arguing to himself. I walked into the lounge and said, who are you talking to? And he pointed to the corner of the room and said, those two, they're saying that I'm a disgrace. Well, they were right. The next time I saw my friend, the medium, she looked at me and tilted her head and said, they like that you like them touching your head, and smiled. I was in that place for 7 years and I still think of the ladies. I saw my medium friend a few weeks ago and I told her that I still missed them. She said that they visit me sometimes in my current house. I didn't know they could do that. I mean, nor did I, Martha. That's slightly disturbing to think that they can just leave where they're, you know, spiritually tied to and just follow you around. No. I am curious to know if you did any research into this manor house. You know, obviously it was built in 1604. That's hundreds and hundreds of years of like history and families and things happening. Did you do any research that would verify or validate this idea that these two women were murdered at the hands of a man in their living room? The visual of turning off the TV and then this shadow or whatever being in the reflection of the TV behind you, that is pure horror film fodder. Absolutely not. But I guess in a way, if you know it's two women and they just don't want to leave their home, that maybe it feels safer or more comfortable. I don't know if I could ever get used to it. I don't know if I could ever get used to a phantom hand bopping my head when I'm watching TV. Although what I do enjoy is them being like, boo, men. That's good. I like that. That's fun. And story number 5 comes from Adelaide. I just want to say this right off the bat. I am not a creepy kid. My name is Adelaide, and believe me, I would love to see ghosts or be able to see things that other people can't. I am a firm believer in everything paranormal and love listening to your podcast, no matter how much your stories scare the crap out of me. Despite me not being creepy, that does not mean that my family is not. My grandparents' house is a charming old house that was built in 1899 and has a lot of history behind it. It was owned by a great guy named Jack Spangler, who died one morning after lunch with his niece. He really was a great guy. Also, just thought that I should put this out there, but me and him share a birthday of the 10th of August, though he was born about 60 years before I was. Anytime something unexplainable or weird happens, we laugh and say, "Hi, Jack." On New Year's Eve of this year, I was putting my littlest cousins to bed at about 10:30 in two of the upstairs rooms. The upstairs, no matter how hot we turn up the heat, is always freezing, even on the hottest days of the summer. I was putting my littlest cousin Austin to bed in the room at the other end of the house from where I slept, which was, by the way, the coldest room in the house. I said that if he for any reason wanted to sleep with me, he could come into my room with his big sister. I went into the room that me and Valerie slept in on the other side of the hall. I go into our room and see her laying on the right side of the bed, my side of the bed. "Okay, girlie, move over, it's time for bed," I said, wondering why she wasn't already on her side of the mattress. "No, I'm scared," she said. "Yeah, right," I thought. She was just being a stubborn little 5-year-old and wanted to piss me off for some reason. I decided to go along with it, and I asked her why she was scared. "Because of the man that stares at me." Wait, what? Did she say man? This answer took me by surprise, and you best believe I was about to scream and dropkick her down the staircase right outside my door. I told her that there was no man staring at her, trying to keep my voice from shaking in order not to scare her. "Yes, there is," she exclaimed, which did not help to calm my urge to sock her. "He stares at me at night when I wake up." I was shaking. I told her fine that she could sleep on that side. I was absolutely done. There was no way I was dealing with a freaky ghost man at 10:30 on New Year's Eve. So we were laying down and I was freaking terrified of seeing this man while I was lying down, when I heard little footsteps coming down the hall. No, there was no way I was dealing with a little ghost child. Then the door to my bedroom opened, and lo and behold, it was my cousin Austin, who I just put to bed the minutes prior. I asked him if he wanted to sleep with us, relieved that there was not also a creepy ghost child in the upstairs of our grandparents' house. He said that he did, and I asked him what was wrong. "I'm scared." "Crap. Despite my utter fear that I felt, I had to put on my big girl pants and say, "Why are you scared?" "Because," he said, looking around as if to see if he could see the thing he was scared of. "I heard Daddy walking around and talking to Mommy, but I looked up and he wasn't there." I died. I assumed by Daddy he meant a man walking around his room with heavy footsteps, and by talking to Mommy he just meant that he heard a man's deep voice talking. So now there was a man staring at Valerie, and a man walking around in Austin's room scaring the ever-loving crap out of him. Let's just say I was absolutely done with all this spooky crap and was ready to enter into the new year without these ghosts scaring me or my cousins. So I did the only logical, mature thing to do in this situation. I laid down with them for about 2 minutes, assured them that there was no man, and let them deal with the ghost. Adelaide, I'm pretty sure that I would have done the exact same thing. I would have been like, "Oh, I'm really sorry that all these scary things are happening to you, but do you know what? You seem well equipped to deal with this, so I'm just gonna go and sleep in another room." I'm curious to know if you think that it was the same guy, this Jack Spangler, who died in the house. If you think that it was him that Valerie was seeing and that Austin was seeing. Like, is it possible that the ghost of this man was sort of bopping around the house and being like, what are all these small children doing in my house?" The thing I will say is that I'm very glad for your sake, Adelaide, that you did not have to directly deal with any of this spooky shenanigans. That it was the small, infinitely drop-kickable children who had to deal with it instead. And I mean, look, aren't we all thankful for small mercies, really? Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Thank you to Anonymous, Aylwin, Brittany, Martha and Adelaide for sending in your stories. Remember, the last story came from January the 26th, 2024. And if you would like to send in your story, you can do so by emailing it to reallifeghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website, reallifeghoststoriespodcast.com. And if you are desperate for some extra content, you can subscribe to the Patreon. That is patreon.com/reallifeghoststories, where for $5 a month or $2 a month, you get access to heaps of extra content, as well as every single main and mini episode completely ad-free. And on that note, I shall see you next time.